بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. A very warm welcome to this Tuesday morning's live edition of Living the Legacy. And we continue as we explore what comes beyond Ramadan. How do we keep the Ramadan legacy alive? And what are some of the things we could be doing to continue nurturing the blessings of this Ramadan? We also look forward to hearing from you, our listeners, via email or WhatsApp. The email address hana@radioislamlive.com or via WhatsApp to +6013-260-8592. What advice do you have for fellow listeners and for myself? How can we keep up with our Ramadan goodness? How can we sustain and nurture the good deeds and the efforts of this Ramadan? What have you found that works for you? How are you keeping up, for example, with your Quran routine, or ensuring that you're praying on time, or continuing with any good deed or goal that you started out with in Ramadan? It's wonderful for us to share in that context. We can all learn from each other and with each other, and in this way, keep that spirit of Ramadan alive, inshallah. Again, on today's program, we have a very special guest coming up shortly, and we will be discussing more about consistency post-Ramadan. If you'd like to play back on the previous episodes in the series we've been airing, you can always go to our website, radioislam.org.za, and find us under the podcast or on Radio Islam's SoundCloud account. You'd be able to find that as well. Our topic is Beyond Ramadan, so you could search with that topic, with that theme or title, and find podcasts to the program that have aired and that will be airing throughout this month. As always, we'd love to hear your feedback on how you're planning to keep up with the Ramadan goodness. And for those that are keeping the sixth fast of Shawwal, we're halfway through the month of Shawwal, how are you doing on that front? And how have you found that helping you to keep, to sustain, to nurture the spirit of Ramadan? We'd love to hear from you, your feedback on that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy. May He make us all, grant us all success and consistency in these efforts to keep up our Ramadan spirit beyond the month. Indeed, there is no month like Ramadan. However, we continue making those efforts to sustain and to hold on to those shields or a protection of taqwa that we've hopefully developed this Ramadan. Coming up on the program, inshallah, in a short while, we'll be speaking to our guest. And later on in today's program, inshallah, we're going to look at how to remain firm and how to have this istiqamah, the steadfastness beyond the month of Ramadan. And why is it so important that we look out for the signs of continuing those good deeds or seeking to return to those good deeds? We're going to find out all of that and more coming up later on in today's program. But for now, we welcome and introduce our very special guest to the program here on Radio Islam. Today, we're speaking to Brother Junaid Bayat, and he's a life coach. He's also an active member in the community in terms of helping children reach their full potential while in school through simple study methods. Awesome. We're speaking to Coach Junaid today live on the program, and together with him, we're going to discover how we can keep up with our post-Ramadan consistency. As a life coach, there's so much we could learn from him, and we're delighted to welcome him to the airwaves of Radio Islam today. Brother Junaid, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to Radio Islam.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, sister, and to the listeners. Very excited to be here.
Thank you
for the opportunity.
Wonderful. Alhamdulillah. We want to get straight into our questions with you because it's all about post Ramadan. And as a life coach, we trust there's tons of nuggets and gems you could share with us. So with our theme being about post Ramadan consistency, how to keep up with it, from your perspective as a life coach, why and how is this so important for us to both our personal growth and our spiritual transformation?
Well, look, you know, when we talk of growth, one needs to take into consideration the human needs. And one of the basic human needs in human need psychology globally is the need for growth. And that's actually the fifth need. Every human being wants to grow. We know that if we're not growing in every area of our life, we're slowly dying. So, you know, growing is actually what we need. And, you know, the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that, you know, Ramadan, he made for us 1 month out of the 12 months. So if you look at the wisdom behind this, they say, you know, a habit takes around about 21 to 28 days, generally around about 28 days to form. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his infinite wisdom, has given us Ramadan to train us to actually be able to develop those habits, that closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with whatever, you know, acts of worship and ibadah that we do. It's giving us that month to form these habits to become long-term. Now, the key here, sister and listeners, is to take this opportunity of growth, and we have to link it to what we value in life. What are the most important things to us in our lives? And one of the key things everybody should have is our spirituality. And we're going to now constantly look at growing in our spiritual life. It's part of our life management system. Spirituality is there. It's one whole component. So what we've got to do is, to grow, we need to now take this Ramadan training, you know, that period, and we've got to link it to basically daily, I would call it daily focus, you know, instilling this discipline for yourself. Because in Ramadan, you woke up at a set time, you had sehri, you performed salah, you read all your salah on set times, you broke your roza at set times, you went for tarawih at set times. This now means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us discipline indirectly. And if you think about it, you know, in the science they say one of the factors of success is discipline. And that means daily focus. Every day at a set time, what am I doing? So if for Ramadan at set times I was doing certain things, I need to continue that so that I can continue growing and improving in my spirituality. You know, some important questions we need to ask ourselves. This is very important. You know, two very important questions we need to ask ourselves when it comes to the growth in spirituality. Ramadan, we need to constantly ask this question: have I progressed or regressed as a Muslim spiritually? Am I still the same place I was last Ramadan, or have I grown? Have I gotten better? It's something that only you as an individual can answer. So the question is, have I progressed or regressed as a Muslim? Am I still the same place, or am I, you know, developing? Have I moved now to, like, you know, maybe I'm reading a little bit more Quran every day compared to last year? Am I reading more Salah? You know, am I keeping all my Salah on time? So that's a question. And the second question we need to ask ourselves is, has Ramadan made me a better person, a better Muslim? Or was I just basically what they would, you know, what the ulama term as a Ramadan Muslim? It's two very important questions that we as individuals need to ask ourselves. This will motivate us, the answers will motivate us to improve and grow.
Very, very interesting. When it comes to post-Ramadan coaching aid, what are some of the biggest challenges that individuals face in staying consistent with their Ramadan efforts?
Well, look, here in South Africa, one, I think the biggest challenge is right now is the cold. You know, people find it difficult. But, you know, jokes aside, the key thing here, one of the biggest challenges is people fall back into the daily rut, you know, of life. And one of the things here is poor productivity, you know, meaning that they don't manage their time well, especially now in the winter time. Another thing in terms of time is they like to procrastinate and leave things for the last minute. Another thing that really holds people back is they don't have that you know, that josh, that motivation, that drive to continue. So I guess that's laziness, you know, creeping in. And the last thing I would say, which is a big challenge faced by most Muslims and most people, is poor choices and poor decisions. Again, like I mentioned, you know, in growth, one of the factors of success is discipline. Another big success factor is the choices and decisions we make. Are the choices and decisions we're making, is it going to help me succeed in life? And I think that everybody knows. But let me tell you why we say it's a success factor. It's not about the choices and decisions. It's about what comes in the way of making those choices and the decisions that you know is going to lead to success. And I always tell people, it's the conditions outside of you that actually change your decisions and the choice. You'll make the choice. You'll say, you know what, yes, I want to carry on with this. Or I'll give you a typical example. You know, everybody says, because I'm from Durban, everybody says, no, it's a hot, sunny day today, we're going to go to the beach. And everybody makes this choice and decision, yes, we're going to go to the beach. But, you know, knowing Durban's weather come the afternoon, it's suddenly windy and cloudy, and everybody now, because the conditions outside has changed, people change their decisions, you know. So one of the things we need to do is when we make a choice and we make a decision, we have to stick to that decision. You need to stick to your choices. Do not let outside conditions make you change your choices and decisions.
Wow, subhanAllah. Yeah, plenty of food for thought, because I think you brought such an important point forward. We don't realize how we allow those external conditions to hold us, to sabotage ourselves, actually. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
The motivation, you know, it also, those choices will impact on your motivation. How driven are you to go about taking action on those choices?
Interesting. Absolutely. Well, as a life coach, I think the next question would be to ask you to guide us now, to support us on this journey post-Ramadan, some practical steps. How can we sustain those Ramadan efforts? Is there a mindset that we have to approach this with? And thirdly, and I know it's a long question, we can break it up into parts if we need to, but Once we know what mindset we're going to approach it with, are there tools, are there resources that can make it easier for us?
Absolutely, absolutely. So let's talk about the first part, right? I'll give you some solutions. And, you know, when anything that we do, the first thing we need to have is, like you mentioned, this word mindset. And mindset is absolutely crucial. And I'll give you an example, a very practical example of why mindset is so important. If I were to, you know, ask people to randomly give us, you know, random words, and let's just say we get, you know, in a space, you know, of the words that the listeners give us, we've got 200 or 300 words, and I write them down, sister, right? And I tell you, here's these 200 words that we've got randomly, and I asked you, I said, I'm going to give you 10 minutes to memorize all 200 words in order. And I ask you, can you do it, sister? What would you say?
No.
There we go. Most times, we automatically, the behavior is, I don't think I can do that. I don't have confidence. So the behavior is, I can't do that. What action will you take? Will you take action? Because you say, hey, I can't do that. I can't take action. I won't take action because I can't do that. So the result will be that I won't learn 200 words. However, there is something that we can't see, and that is the belief that actually impacts the behavior, that impacts your actions, that impacts the results. If I told you, sister, I teach memory techniques, and there is one memory technique that I teach where you can learn 600 to 800 words in order in 10 to 15 minutes. Now when you know this technique, now if I give you 200 words, will you be able to remember it?
What we yes, inshallah. Yes.
There we go. Yes. See, so what happens is this thing that we can't see is the belief that we have in our head. That's the mindset. Mm-hmm. When you believe now that I can do it, the behavior automatically, you said yes, yes, you had confidence. Yes, I can do it. The action will be, yes, I'll do it because I know how to do this. And the result will be you will learn 200 words. So this is the importance of mindset. We need to shift our mindset from, you know, this I can't do it, I don't know, to I can, and I will find out. So mindset, number one, is very important, right? And what kind of mindset do we need to have? We need to have what I call a growth mindset. A growth mindset is very simple. It says, with a little bit of effort, I can improve the result. I can improve my outcome that I'm looking for, you see? So we have to have this development or this growth mindset that says, by me taking a little bit of focused effort, I can improve and grow myself. So let's look at some of the solutions, right? We spoke about this thing called discipline, daily focus. And one of the things we need to, as Muslims, is, you know, we have a perfect time management system in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us five daily salah at specific times. Most people make the mistake of planning everything and then they put in the salah. You actually plan everything, you plan your salah first, and then you plan everything else after that, you know. So one of the things in discipline is, I suggest everybody must master their morning. So you got to have this morning routine. In Ramadan, you woke up for Seri, that time, you ate certain things, you read Fajr Salah, you read a little bit. That was a morning routine. So every other month, master your routine. And one of the biggest challenges this entire generation, which is the millennials and the alphas, they are facing is they like to wake up late. They wake up very late. So what happens is the body gives off certain chemicals and systems, and what happens is when you sleep past sunrise, these chemicals don't get given off. So it makes you a very lazy. But when you wake up, you feel like, oh, I need to sleep a little bit more. It makes you lazy. So one of the things is start mastering your morning routine. And I have a simple thing that I do that everybody can practice. I like to do things in blocks of 20 minutes. So the first 20 minutes should be your spirituality block, right? 20 minutes. What do I do in this 20 minutes to master my morning? 5 minutes, salah. 5 minutes, Quran. 5 minutes of zikr, right? And 5 minutes of shukr, gratitude. Now, zikr, you should be reading your kalima at least, you know, in 5 minutes, see how many times you can. It's not that you've forgotten Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's just to reaffirm, you know, get that motivation back in there. It's not, you know, that's the reason we make zikr, is to just keep reaffirming to ourselves. But you know what? There is only one Allah. He is my provider. And the fourth block of 5 minutes in the 20-minute block is we need to get into this habit of being, you know, the attitude of gratitude. One of the things we are finding, especially with this generation, is the ingratitude. You know, they take everything for granted. They have this entitlement mentality that they are not grateful for things that they do have. Why? It's because they start hankering after the things that they don't have. So the focus is all the things that we don't have. So I say a 5 minute, you know, broken up four blocks of 5 minutes in a 20 minute block of spirituality. And also, after you finish with that 20 minute block of spirituality, you do a 20 minute movement. 20 minutes of just moving the body. You see, what happens is when you sleep, the heart rate goes down and you start, you know, feeling lazy to do anything. But stretch for 20 minutes, just move the body, move around, do some, you know, loosening up exercises or warm-up exercises just to get the heart rate and the body warmed up. And whilst you're doing that, in that 20 minutes, plan your day out. Plan the day out. Visualize five or six things that I'm going to achieve, I'm going to finish for the day. And you've got to, you know, visualize it. Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, he actually taught us this technique of visualization 1400 years ago. Science thinks they taught us this now. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us visualization 1400 years ago. So visualize your day. See yourself completing the five or six tasks. So that's number one, discipline. Number two, you know, we always say, when you want to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you get onto your musalla. Number two, I'm saying is you need to start listening to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speak to you. And it should be something that's daily. And how do we achieve that? It's very simple. Listen to the Quran. You know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking to us. He's telling us that his kalam, that's his, you know, his word. So listen to the Quran. If you can listen to yourself reading, very good, alhamdulillah. Or take your favorite reciter, whether it's, you know, Shuraim, Sudesh, whoever it is. Listen every day, whether you're sitting in the car. Because people nowadays, everybody has a device, some kind of device that can play these MP3s. And they are widely available. You know, listen to the Quran every single day. Has a lot of barakah. And, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have sent this Quran as a mercy and as also as a shifa. You know, so listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking every day, even if it's 5 or 10 minutes in the car. Listen to some surahs, you know, and this should become something that is part and parcel of your life every single day. And the third thing is to become more productive in life, that is to master, you know, becoming active. Too many people are, you know, they're not very productive. They wait for things to happen. I'm saying become somebody who makes things happen. Don't wait for things to happen. You make it happen. So master your productivity. So those are the three things that I would say would, you know, practical things that will take your Ramadan effort and make it something that's permanent as a daily thing in your everyday life out of Ramadan. Number one, discipline. Every day at a set time, do set things. And from there, I said master your morning. Morning routine, where 20 minutes of spirituality is 5 minutes salah, 5 minutes Quran, 5 minutes zikr, and 5 minutes of shukr. And then another 20 minutes of moving the body around to get the body in, you know, heated up a little bit. So in that 20 minutes when you're moving around, plan your day. Plan 4 or 5 things that you're going to do for the day and visualize you finishing those things. The second, you know, practical step, I would say, is to listen to the Quran every single day. If you've been listening to the Quran every day, then take it a step further. Listen to the Quran and take 1 or 2 ayats and listen to the meaning. Ponder over the meaning, you know. And the third thing I would say is become somebody who's productive. So, you know, get down to doing things, taking action, not putting off things. And to become productive, what we need to do is, one thing is find out when am I at my best? When am I at my best, at my peak? And do the, you know, the productive and the important things when you're at your best. So those are the three practical steps. You know, your second part of the question was something about the tools and resources to help. You know, I give kids and adults and, you know, corporate professionals a weekly schedule. So I have a whole week schedule, Monday to Sunday, in blocks of 30 minutes. You can use it. Anybody wants it, or I will send it to you, sister, and you can send it out to everybody. This will help you. When you plan your entire week, you know you've got things. These at this time on Tuesday, I'm doing this. On Thursday, I'm doing this. So what happens is you have the whole week on one page, and you know all the things that you are doing. You start off with putting all your Quran, your Salah, and your Zikr. You put that every day, 7, 5 o'clock, you know, you got to do that. And then you can put in everything out, you know, have your fun things, family things, everything. You can put it in. And don't just keep it to, you know, especially students. I always tell them, don't only put your academic stuff. Put all the fun things. Because one of the reasons people don't follow a schedule is because there's no fun things in it. So put everything that you need to do on your weekly schedule. It makes you, number one, in control of your time, right? It means I am now in charge of my time. And we all know there's a surah dedicated to time, Surah Wal Asr, you know? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about time. Everybody wants time. One of the ways is mastering your weekly schedule. Number two, another big resource, everybody has phones. And nowadays, our phone, you can set multiple alarms. So what I'd like people to do is set out first, you know, your 5 salah alarms for those 5 times. Set out the reminder. That's set alarm. Number two, set out a reminder for every 3 hours. And every 3 hours, let that reminder be, hey, grateful, gratitude, shukr. What can I be grateful for right now? So these are simple things. And, you know, number three is you can have a checklist of things that you need to do, right, like a to-do list for the day. Again, even if any listeners want a checklist, I have quite a few that we give out to, you know, clients and students. So I can give you a checklist. I can give you a blank one. You fill in all the things that you need to do. So these are basically resources that can help you. One is a weekly schedule, mastering your time. Number two, use your phone to remind you of your 5 daily salah. Every 3 hours, let it remind you, I need to be grateful of something. What can I be grateful for in this last 3 hours? What can I, you know, focus on to have this attitude of gratitude? Mm-hmm. And the third one was having these checklists, using checklists.
Wonderful. I'm really excited to work on this for myself. And I know our listeners are as well, inshallah. Listeners, remember the program will be up on podcast, so you can listen and play back on it. I know I will. You can take down your notes and you can really work on implementing these tools. So it will be up on podcast later on today or latest by tomorrow morning with our podcast team. Coach Junaid, one last question. As a Muslim professional, what are the practical steps you're taking this Shawwal to maintain your Ramadan atmosphere, both in your workplace and at home?
Ironically, I work from home, so my workplace is at home. Alhamdulillah, it's one of the blessings of being a coach and all, you know, the company. You know, in terms of what I do specifically is a lot of listening to the Quran, because I'm a Hafiz. And I performed Taraweeh. This year was my 29th year that I have been performing Taraweeh. So what I do is, every year I record the entire Taraweeh. And after Ramadan, I listen to my own part. I listen to the recitation many times in the day. As if I'm sitting in the car and driving from, you know, like where I live, from Verulam to Durban, I will play for me, it's me listening to my door. And at the same time, it's me listening to the Quran. So that's one thing that I do even more now. In terms of my schedule, nothing has changed. I, you know, from a young age, from doing his days, I have that habit where I don't need an alarm at about 4:30 or 5:00. I'm up. So my most productive time in my day is from like 5:00 to 9:00, 9, 10:00. And I do everything that I need to do in that time. And then for the rest of the day, I'm free to do meetings and other stuff. But I get the most important stuff done early in the morning, from 5:00 right to about 9:00. And then the other thing is reading lots of Quran. For me, I love reading. In fact, it was one of my dreams to become a Qari. So I love reading, and I like to read a lot of the Quran. It's the ultimate book, you know, that has everything in it. And that's why I say, whenever you want to listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speak, listen to the Quran. So read the book. You're listening to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking to you. You know, another thing that just came to my mind, sister, is sit with, you know, learned people of the deen, learned people. And I would suggest our listeners should all start. You don't have to, especially the mums and the ladies who say, no, but you know where we can go and sit with Alim. You don't need to. You know, you can start with, you know, Mufti Mink has those stories of the Prophet. Start with these stories. Every day, just listen, you know, with the family. Listen to the stories of the Prophet. It is vital now more than ever that us as Muslims, we need to know our identity. We need to know our history, especially our Islamic history. We know everybody else, but we don't know the true role models and the figures of Islam. And start with the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those stories are very interesting, and they're not long. They're like 15 minutes, some not like 10 minutes. You know, you'll learn something about Islamic history.
Well, you shared with us many, many tools, and as we're speaking, we are getting messages and emails from listeners asking how to be in touch with you. Is there a website? Is there social media? How can schools or individuals get in touch with you? If you could please let us know.
Okay.
What is the easiest way?
Easiest way is my cell phone number is 083-786-9657. And my email address is Junaid, J-U-N-A-I-D, Junaid@bayat.com. So it's Junaid@junaidbayat.com. If you Google my name, Junaid, my details will come up. My website is junaidbayat.com, www.junaidbayat.com.
Jazakumullah khair. We've benefited so much from the gems and the advice, the motivation you've given us. Yes.
Any listener who wants the talking points that I have prepared, you're welcome to email me, as well as for the weekly schedule and the checklist. You're most welcome to email me, and I will email you a copy of. I do all my planning on a mind map, so it's one page. This entire, you know, everything that I prepared is on one page. Mm-hmm. I can email it to you, and I can email you the schedules and checklists as well, inshallah.
Inshallah. That would be wonderful. Jazakallah khair so much for your time today, for the wisdom, the motivation you've given us to approach post-Ramadan consistency from a very refreshing, very insightful, and very motivational life. Like both your own example and also the gems and the tools you've given us, I believe for myself, and I'm speaking for on behalf of our listeners, inshallah, will lead us to remaining consistent until next Ramadan, inshallah. Keep us in your dua, and we look forward to having you motivate us and our listeners again. Inshallah soon.
Shukran. Allah bless all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We're speaking to Hafiz Junaid Bayat, a life coach in South Africa, an active member in the community in terms of helping children reach their full potential while in school through simple study methods. The contact number for international listeners, +27 83 786 9657. For South Africa, 083 786 9657. You can Google our guest's name and also email him for the 30-minute slot, the timesheet, as well as for resources that he's talked about on today's program. Plenty to take in, lots to think about, and of course implement, alhamdulillah, for all the wonderful tools he shared with us on the program today. We go for our ad break, and when we return, more on Ramadan consistency. Stay with us. A very warm welcome to the program. Before the break, we were talking to our guest of the program, Hafiz Junaid Bayat, a life coach in South Africa, an author, speaker, lecturer, and a trainer. And he shared with us valuable gems on how to approach the post-Ramadan consistency and how to develop the mindset that will allow us to gain success, inshallah, in dunya and if you'd like to be in touch with the guest to get a copy of the keynotes stated on the program today, and if you'd like to as well get a copy of the 30-minute segment in which the divide time that he spoke about, you can contact him on 083-786-9657, and for international listeners, +27 83 786 9657. And he will email you, send your email address, and then he will email you a copy of the outline as well as how the worksheet on dividing your time in 30-minute intervals. A fascinating, insightful, and motivational interview. The program will be up on podcast later on. And you can play back to catch those gems that were shared on the program, alhamdulillah. We continue with our journey of post-Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the chance to fast this past Ramadan, and we need to be grateful to Allah that He's opened this chance for obedience to Him. Now, one way to show our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to continue doing the ibadah we used to do in Ramadan. After Ramadan, the scholars said one of the signs that indicate your good deeds have been accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open for you another gate of obedience and guidance. So for example, you performed Qiyamul Layl during Ramadan, and did you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open another door of goodness? If so, then you have to receive the good news and the glad tidings, and inshallah your Ramadan has been accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if after Ramadan Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the gates of goodness, this inshallah is a good sign. But if you see that the chances to do the good deeds have not been opened or have not been made easy for you, and you return to where you were before Ramadan, then it's important that we take ourselves to account that where did I go wrong? What could I and what should I have done differently or better at? And if this is our concern, if this is established in our heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always help us. Allah never leaves us alone. Allah never neglects us. Allah never leaves us to our own selves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ar-raqib, the caretaker. He's watching our hearts. And if He sees that we are concerned about our faith, that we are concerned about our good deeds, that we are concerned about winning with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then He will help us and He will keep us firm. So who are the winners? and who are the losers with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the Day of Judgment يوم التغابن. And the last day, the Day of Judgment, has many names. Right? يوم الحشر, يوم القيامة. In Surah At-Taghabun, in the 28th para or juz of the Quran, Surah number 64, Surah At-Taghabun, about mutual loss and gain. Now, At-Taghabun is related to the trade, the tijara, the transaction with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a seller is selling something less than the cost price, or the buyer spent more than he should have on something. How does this make one feel? And in Surah Saf, this chapter on the rose, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us here, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ تِجَارَةٍ تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Or you who have believed, shall I guide you to a transaction that will save you from a painful punishment? In entering a business, you need capital. But to deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you already have everything to enter the business with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this trade will save you from the awful torment. You have everything to enter the trade with Allah, to be a winner. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from amongst the winners. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the surah, تؤمنون بالله ورسوله وتجاهدون في سبيل الله بأموالكم وأنفسكم ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون. It is that you believe in Allah and His Messenger, and you strive in the cause of Allah with your wealth and your lives. That is best for you, if you should know. So let's break this up to understand it, about being a winner. You need to believe in Allah, His oneness, His attributes, His actions, His laws. You need to believe in the Messenger of Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You need to believe that He is the Messenger sent with truth. You need to follow Him. You need to love Him, His family, and His companions. And then, وَتُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. You need to strive hard in the cause of Allah, jihad, with action, with good deeds. This is the result. So make da'wah, learn, teach, spread the knowledge by the tongue, by writing, and with your time. This is how to win the tijara. This is how to win the transaction. The verse continues, يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَيُدْخِلْكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ وَمَسَاكِنَ طَيِّبَةً فِي جَنَّاتِ عَدْنٍ ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. Allah will forgive for you your sins and admit you to gardens beneath which rivers flow and pleasant dwellings in gardens of perpetual residence. That is the great attainment. وَأُخْرَى تُحِبُّونَهَا نَصْرٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَفَتْحٌ قَرِيبٌ وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And you will obtain another favor that you love, victory from Allah, and an imminent conquest, and give good tidings to the believers. So whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you of the blessings, use them, and enter the business with Allah. And you will never be a loser with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is out of Allah's grace. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us blessings, guiding us to win. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared the situation for you to win. So you have no excuse to be a loser on the Day of Judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the victory, and the victory with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make us of those who are winners, and that who are in the shade of His mercy on that day when there will be no shade but His shade. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. So let's work on our mindset, on our productivity. Let's work on our mornings and making those mornings matter, because that's where the miracle and the magic is. Let's work on our discipline and work on that growth mindset that our guest spoke about. And step by step, we start seeing that progress, and we see that we're able to be consistent with those Ramadan efforts. Yes, it takes time, it takes planning, it takes effort, but it is all worth it. This is something we're doing to secure and to invest in for our akhirah, for our jannah. So look back to this Ramadan that's passed. And what is it that you need to hold on to? What is it you need to remain consistent with? What is it that you need to use in your building blocks for your akhirah? Give that thought, and I'll join you again here on Radio Islam next Tuesday at the same time with another special guest as we continue exploring beyond Ramadan. For myself, Rehan Omar, Jazakumullah khairan for listening in and stay inspired. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.